Just turn again to consider as enabled the words you will find in the Psalm read, Psalm 42, and the last verse of Psalm 42. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. We have here a very plain account of how things stood with the psalmist. Honesty becomes us, and especially those who profess the name of the Lord. And that is what we have here in David. He's not hiding anything. He's not pretending. He's not coming with a hypocritical spirit. But he is laying matters plainly and fully and in an unvarnished manner before the Lord. And the Holy Spirit lays it before us. We are to walk in the footsteps of the flock, a plain account of plain truths before God, who sees all and who hates iniquity. You notice that this is for the sons of Korah, to the chief musician Maskell, for the sons of Korah. Maskell, a psalm of instruction. There is much instruction in the darknesses through which the soul passes, and the way to the land of light, unlimited and illimitable. There is much to be learned from the Word of God, following the footsteps of the flock through the darkness. Almost the whole of Job, he was in a dark spiritual position. And much of what we have related in the Psalms speaks of longings and desires, but not to the same extent a realization of these desires. A wishing that things were better, brighter, clearer, more plain and evident, and a desire after that light. Oh, send thy light forth and thy truth. Let them be guides unto me. We are of those, Nehemiah says, who desire to fear thy name. They were in a very dark position because of their own sin. They were in captivity. They were far off from the outward elements of worship as it had been delivered to them in Mount Sinai. They were living in a heathen land where on every side the very air was the air of unbelief. But that longing continued. We are of those that desire to fear thy name. Maskell, something to learn. Isaiah chapter 50, he that walks in darkness and has no light, let him trust in the way of the Lord. Let him trust, even in the dark. That's what faith is, that's what faith is for. That's where faith shines, survives, but nothing else will. Maskell, for the sons of Korah. Yeah, Korah was, of course, notorious in the Old Testament as Korah, Dathan and Abiram, who led a rebellion against Moses, against Aaron. In their pride, they considered themselves to be equal with the high priest and equal with that great prophet of the Old Testament, Moses. But the Lord, in judgment, called for the earth to open before them, and they were swallowed down in into the pit, and both physically and spiritually. They went like Judas to their own place. How in a moment suddenly to ruin brought are they. But here we have the sons of Korah. The command of, or the invitation of Moses on that occasion was, separate yourselves from these men. Separate yourselves from these men before the judgment would come, lest you also be involved. Separate yourselves from these men. And the sons of Korah separated themselves from their father and stood at a distance. And they were not consumed in the judgment. Every man shall stand and be judged by his own profession, or lack of that profession. He shall die for his own sins. And here they are, trophies of grace, as it were, brands plucked from the burning. And here's a song for them, that they may sing. Not the pride of the song of Korah and Dathan and Abiram. Not the unbelief, not the self-promotion. We're as good as Aaron, we're as good as Moses. We can do their job as well as they can. Who made them to be rulers over us? And here is a song for the sons of Korah. And it's not an outward expression of inward pride or rebellion. It is an expression of a humble acquiescence with God. And yet, combined with that, a holy desire for spiritual good, spiritual blessing, spiritual light. No railing against God, but a humble desire that God would do them good. That's the song they have for the sons of Korah. We are to measure our desires against those good people and ask if we have these desires too. Heart panting after the water brooks. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? It's as though the writer is conversing with himself. He's addressing himself. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? There's an inward debate going on. This expression of desires and fears and sorrows and wounds and hopes. And it's all happening in the one heart. This dialogue within is peculiar in the nature of it to the renewed heart. A questioning within, a setting of the soul, as it were, and its soul, and the soul together, debating the matter. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Reminds you of Paul in Romans chapter 7, when he speaks of himself. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The good I would, I do not. The evil I would not, that I do. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Woe! He pronounces over himself his own situation. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? That's the end of the dialogue of faith. It's the same in both situations. The darkness doesn't win, it doesn't prevail. for the psalmist, for the apostle goes on to say, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Sure and certain hope, he is saying. Sure and certain deliverance, light assured, whatever the darkness, an end to all woe, whatever the woe that the believer might pronounce upon himself, there'll be an end of it. There is therefore now no condemnation, not the woe of a lost eternity, never, never the day. And here also the dialogue related in the psalm here has the same outcome. I will yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou tumultuated? That's the phrase that the interpreters of the psalm use instead of disquieted. A tumult, it's like a sea. It's like the Sea of Galilee when Jesus came over the waves to his disciples. There was a tumult, the waves rising and falling, the wind howling, and the danger to all. Well, that's how the soul was. That's how the soul was here. A tumult within. A woe pronounced. Who? And so a cry in the darkness. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Hope thou in God. You would have noticed the references here in verse 6. Again, O my God, my soul is cast down within me, therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan. A remembering of past mercies. Jordan is the river which divided the wilderness from the promised land. And when the time came for the children of Israel to pass over from out of the wilderness to the promised land, the Lord removed that difficulty, and it was dry. And the waters of Jordan heaped up on one side, and below that, a dry bed for all of them to walk over. And even the youngest and weakest of them could pass over in safety, until all of them were on the far side. And that is the picture we have of passing over the Jordan of death in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. Though Sam Christian himself was put to a stand, yet he found solid ground under his feet and he got to the other side. That's true of all that could come between us and God and the fulfillment of the promises of God that are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Christ tasted death for his people and took the cup of death from the hand of his Father and passed through that experience of which he said, the waters are come in unto my soul. I find no standing place for my feet. Because he has gone over that Jordan himself. He has opened a way. He is the forerunner. He is the one going before in order to prepare a way and a place for all his people. So that the weakest of them, will safely pass over. That was one thing that Bunyan says. There was a man he had in telling of his experiences. And the great feature of this man was that he was not strong. He had many disabilities. Walking was a difficulty with him, and keeping on walking was a difficulty with him, and they wondered how he would do in Jordan. But the day that his time came, the water had never been so low, and he passed over safely to the other side. My soul is cast down within me, therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan. The Lord opened up the waters, gave a dry passage. And from the hill of Mizar, this is thought to be from the Hermonites, and the hill of Mizar, this is thought to be the place where the law was given to Moses, by Moses to the children of Israel. And he, having received the law from the mouth of God, took it down and gave it to them. The word of God, the Psalms speak of that great privilege which the children of Israel received in receiving God's word. It says that there was never any nation that was ever so privileged as to receive God's word. To others, the creation itself spoke day by day. The night does knowledge teach, but to the children of Israel, God's very word was given. And that was set them apart as a nation. Well, David remembers that word himself, and the fact that it was given in the hill of Mizar, and they received that word. And they were privileged beyond any. And that is true of every spiritual child of Abraham, that the Lord gives his word in a way that he does not give it to anyone else. The Lord speaks to the heart. All God's children are taught of the Lord, and great is the peace of his children. This is the covenant that I will make in those days, saith the Lord. I will take away the heart of stone, and I will give the heart of flesh, and I will write my law upon your heart. No other nation under heaven given such privileges. If David was looking for encouragement and hope, a basis and ground for hope, here is something, a solid hope, the Lord speaking to him by the word. The Lord confirming his word. The Lord writing the word indelibly upon the heart. We think of the law of God given to Moses in Mount Sinai. And it was written with God's finger upon the two tables of stone. But these tables were lost. But here we have the word written upon the fleshy tables of the heart, the soul that will never go out of existence, but will have God's law written upon it, with all the sanctifying influence that that brings, with all the light that that brings, with all the hope that it brings within the soul. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ has come into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's the law written in the heart. Not just a statement might be true in and of itself, but here is statement brought into and written upon the fleshy tables of the heart, of whom I am chief. It's therefore a faithful saying to me, worthy of all acceptation by me. And I do humbly before God take that word to be faithful and worthy of all acceptation. I, Paul, the greatest of sinners, I take it to myself. That's evidence of the word written upon the fleshy tables of the heart. Hope thou in God. It's not a vain hope. It's not a vague hope. It's the hope of sins forgiven for Jesus' sake. The hope that is spoken of here. And we have the Hermonites spoken of here too, verse 6. So therefore will I remember thee from the hill of land of Jordan and of the Hermonites. That was a great battle against those who inhabited the promised land before the children of Israel came. And it was a sign, it was a fulfillment of the promise of God that they would prevail under him and with him. If God be for us, who can be against us? And that there was no substance or basis for that fear that the children of Israel had the first time they came to the river of Jordan, and they heard of the high walls, and they heard of the giants, and they were before these giants as grasshoppers, and how were they ever going to assault these high walls? No, they would go back to Egypt. Karn or reason found no hope. But when they remembered what God had done for them among the Hermonites, great, fierce, merciless, bloodthirsty warriors, though these men were, that is, these godless nations in Canaan. Yet God gave them the victory. And that is was a hope for further engagements. And a basis and ground for considering that the Lord would do in them and for them above their asking and above their thinking. Well, that great concern that the apostle had in Romans 7 was the power of sin. Who shall deliver me? Good I would, I do not. Evil that I would not, that I do. Who shall deliver me? Sin was like the enemies of the children of Israel in the land of promise. The land flowing with milk and honey. But they were to remember that there is a prevailing power in the blood of Christ, an all prevailing power in the blood of Christ. If God be for us, Paul says, who shall be against us? There is no sin but will be destroyed. There is no enemy raised up against the journey of faith but will be put aside and caused to flee. It's a good hope. Christ, by his death on Calvary, destroyed the works of the devil. Therefore, looking to him again, as Paul did, there is therefore now no condemnation. Enemies are scattered. Power of Satan himself is laid low. And eventual, final, utter, total victory is assured. So this hope which the psalmist holds out to his own heart, hope thou, who is he speaking to? Speaking to himself. He's conversing with himself. Hope thou in God. The spiritual life here, it's not the graveyard we're in. There's the activity of faith here. There's the good hope of faith here. And he says, hope thou in God. There's every reason to hope in God. Did Christ not die? And did the stronger than the strong man not come? And did he not bind in anticipation the strong man who was in possession of the house? You remember the Hermonites. Remember the word in my, remember the power in our behalf at Jordan. Hope, hope thou in God. Not the vain hope of the Pharisee coming to the temple and hoping in himself. I'm not as other men. I do this, I do that. Presenting himself. It's not that vain hope. It's hope in a living and true God. It's the affirmation, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Hope thou in God. That was the hope of the publican. The Pharisee came up to the temple, but he had no desire to meet with God. Just to meet with a God of his own making, for the work of his own hands, the work of the deceit of his own wicked heart. So he went down to his house, not justified, but the publican came. His prayer was, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He had need of the one who alone can forgive sin. And God is the only one that forgives sin. He was looking for God. Psalm 42 was the publican psalm. Hope thou in God. It's a good psalm for us. A good psalm for us. No false light here, but the light of faith resting upon the light of the world. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. May the Lord add his blessing.